I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, I'll begin reading verse 1, but major on verse 6. Take that as our text tonight. But I want to say I really appreciate what the pastor said tonight about people being discouraged. But there's a lot to be encouraged about. There's a lot to be encouraged about. And just, I was just thinking of this. I got up yesterday morning thinking about this, and I've been thinking about it today as well. You know, a lot of people kind of look down on themselves. Now, I'm not into this. Everybody ought to be worshiping themselves and all of that. But we are children of God.
Yes.
We're children of the King.
Right.
And one thing that has happened in the last 3-4 years and many years now is that the experts and the moneyed people and the ruling elite and all of that have shown us, and I'm not trying to be dramatic now, but they really, really are some of the stupidest people that have ever lived. I'm just saying this as a matter of fact. They are just as stupid. They defy vocabulary. To describe their delusion and foolishness. And I said all that to say this, that really it ought to make people realize how much smarter and how much intelligence, real intelligence and common sense and ability that the most uneducated child of God has,
yes,
compared to these people that are in the grip of the devil.
Right.
Amen. And so there's just so much for God's people to be encouraged about. Now, the darkness comes, what, before the dawn.
Right.
And these things are not surprising. We're living in terrible times, but they're, in a way, they're terrific times because we know what's coming.
Yeah.
Amen. For us, we grieve about what is coming for those who are unsaved.
Right.
And so I want to keep that in mind and throughout the message. But right now, let's pray and then we'll read our text. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you again for the blessing of being in this place. And we thank you for this. I want to thank you for this last hymn that we have had, that we've sung tonight. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a Savior. You have provided for us. You didn't have to do it, but you did. And Lord, we want to praise your name for it. We want to be faithful to you because of this. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will work in a mighty way through the Word. That your truth will go forth. You'll do a special ministry work even to people tonight as things are said said from this pulpit. And that your Spirit will even say more to the hearts of people who are here who need a special work and ministry upon their hearts from you, a special emancipation from the hold that sin may have upon them. And we pray, Lord, that you'll get honor and glory from what is said, what is done, what is felt, what is responded to tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now in Matthew chapter 24 and in verse 1 is the great Olivet Discourse. The Sermon on the Mount was given at the commencement of Jesus' ministry, and he is rehearsing, reviewing with his disciples. That's all for Christians.
Right.
The Sermon on the Mount. And he's giving them Christianity 101 to teach them to make sure they got it as much as possible.
Right.
These men who are going to lead in carrying the gospel forth, the planting of churches, and all of that. This is the Olivet Discourse is at the close of his ministry, and he has some mighty powerful things to say. The Bible says he went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? I wish I had time to describe the temple, just beyond ability to describe what that temple area was like. And they're impressed by it. They're very impressed. Jesus was not so impressed. He said, I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us, When shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? This world is coming to an end. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. The only way to make sure you're not deceived is weigh everything and measure everything, try everything, test everything against this book. That's the only way to not be deceived. He said, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Our world is full of men and women who are claiming to be Christ today. Right. And they're deceiving many. Right. Now in verse 6 he said, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Now I want to center our attention on this phrase where Jesus said, all of these things must come to pass. There are things that Jesus said must come to pass. We're living in the day of those things right now that Jesus said must come to pass. Please be seated. And I want to touch on three aspects of things that must come to pass. Now, Jesus knew all about it. He's always known all about it. He is omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time because he is God. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful, all powerful. And he is omniscient in that he knows everything. He said all of these things that I'm talking about must come to pass. And I want to talk about three things tonight. Number one, and I'm going to use a word that's been used a lot just of late. Now listen carefully, beloved. World leaders, global leaders, are now talking about a great reset. Have you heard that term? A great reset. Well, I was familiar with this idea of a great reset from the time I first started reading the Bible. And as I got into those things in the Bible that talk about prophecy, and you get into the book of Revelation, you read in the Bible where God is telling us that there is coming a time when there will be a great reset. And I'm convinced that we're living in those times. Yes. It's not just something that involves America. It is global. Right. All over the world, global leaders are talking about a great reset, a great change. In this world, in this country, they were calling it the new normal. I don't want anything to do with their new normal. Absolutely nothing. I'm still a believer that the Bible says, meddle not with them that are given to change. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart, and there is enough truth in this to give a person a running path for life in Jeremiah 6. Now listen to me, beloved. Read Jeremiah 6 when you get home. The first part of it, especially if you're a new Christian, read this. The Bible says, seek the old paths. Amen. Stand in the way and look. That means you've got, here is somebody that the old paths have become obscured. People don't even know where the old paths once were. The old paths were once clear-cut paths, easy to see, easy to get on. We're living in a day when the old paths have been obscured and covered up by weeds and thorns and all kinds of materialism and hedonism and atheism and all of this in the process of bringing about this great recess. And the Bible says there's coming a time when you're going to have to stand in the way and ask for the old paths. There's a lot of people who need help today. They need to be pointed in the right way. They need that. Children need to be taught about the old paths. The old paths of righteousness. The old holiness path. As the song said, the old glory hallelujah path. Amen. I'm talking about old paths of worship. Old paths of trusting faith in God. The old path. Ask for the old paths. And here's what you get. God said, you ask for the old paths, and you will find rest for your soul. Amen. I didn't read this verse this morning. I thought about it. And it's that verse in Isaiah that said the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. Is there anybody here that feels like that in your life? That your life is like a troubled sea? Anybody here, your life has been so turbulent, so tossed about, so confused, so agitated, and the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. And the more that you are in, you know, you can get saved and still be in the realm and somewhat influenced by wicked forces. And you will never find rest for your soul as a Christian until you humbly, like a little child, resolve, I'm going to follow Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to find out what Jesus wants, and I am going to follow Jesus. And it doesn't matter who likes it or doesn't like it. It doesn't matter what I'm going to have to cut out of my life or bring into my life. What it does not matter what the price is that I am going to pay, I am going to follow Jesus.
Amen.
Like that little song says, I have decided to follow Jesus. Now listen to me, beloved. Every time you hear the preaching or the teaching of the Word of God, it's decision time.
Right.
Now listen carefully. What we're doing tonight is not for the sake of entertainment. It's not even for the sake altogether of education. The end goal is that people in this room will make a decision.
Yes, sir.
You'll make a decision to adjust some things that need to be adjusted. You'll make a decision to leave some things that need to be left.
Right.
To enter into a path that needs to be entered into. If you come here and you leave the same way you came in here, then you haven't gotten much out of your experience in the house of God tonight. God wants you to make a decision.
Amen.
The angels of heaven are waiting to see who's going to make a decision when God's word is preached.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit will convict and nudge to get you to make a decision.
Right.
The Lord Jesus Christ, with wounds in his hands and in his feet and in his side and scars around his brow because he left his throne in heaven and came to this world and shed his life's blood for you, wants you to make a decision.
Amen.
For righteousness and be on his side.
That's right. Amen.
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 I'm not even into this yet. But who is on the Lord's side? Somebody quoted that today.
Amen.
Joshua said, who is on the Lord's side? You find that in Moses' day. They said, who is on the Lord's side? Now here's a flat out question for you. The person wearing your clothes tonight. This is your question. Are you on the Lord's side tonight or not? You either are on his side or you're not on his side. Do not kid yourself. You are either on the side of God and righteousness and his crucified son, or you are not on his side. You're on the other side. Jesus said, he that is with me gathereth with me. And he that is against me scattereth abroad. You're either with him or against him tonight. You might be the nicest, most moral person, but you're either with him or against him. Life is so short. You can't afford to fool around with. You better choose this night whom you're going to serve.
Amen.
I'm not talking about choosing in the morning or tomorrow night or sometime this week. I'm talking about because you can do it. Choose tonight who you're going to serve. Now let's get back to this message. Now I have to preach faster than ever. Three things Jesus is talking about when he talked about things that must come to pass. First thing is this great reset. This is a reset that's foretold in prophecy. We're living it right now. It's foretold in prophecy. They're working at it with all of their might to bring about this reset. We're living in this environment. This is something foretold in prophecy. In prophecy, it told us there'd be this time of reset and that it would be a time. I'm going to give two characteristics of this time as according to prophecy. I mentioned one of them this morning. That this is a time, as the Bible said it would be, of unprecedented delusion.
Yes, sir.
There's always been delusion. Throughout the history of mankind, people have been capable of being fooled. And whole countries have been deluded. For example, Germany was deluded under Hitler. Almost the whole population was just led astray by Hitler. There's always been times of delusion, but the times we're living in are times of unprecedented delusion. There's never been anything like it before, like it is now. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that's a powerful chapter to read right now. Verse 11 says, "And for this cause," talking about that day, "God shall send them strong delusion." Now listen carefully, beloved. "That they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Yep. Is there anybody here tonight that maybe you don't believe the truth? This is the truth. You say, "I don't believe that." You really don't believe it. Anybody like that here tonight? Don't raise your hand. Just answer that question for yourself. Do you believe God's truth or not?
Right.
Number two, he says, refers to those who have pleasure in unrighteousness. Let me ask you a question. Is there anybody here tonight and you are sinning against God?
Right.
Your lifestyle is all about sinning against God.
Yes.
You sin and you cause other people to sin.
Right.
Is there anybody like that here tonight? You sin because you prefer sin. You love your sin. You want to hang into sin. You would spit in the face of Jesus rather than forsake your sin. You're no better than the people that gathered at the foot of the cross and cursed and jeered at Jesus. You didn't want Jesus because you love your sin. And while you've been sitting in this auditorium, maybe there's somebody here you're thinking right now the sin you're going to be committing when you get home. Well, listen to what the Bible says. "That they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness." This is people, this is their M.O. This is their mode of operation. They ignore the truth and they love their sin. They wallow in their lust, their dishonesty, their hypocrisy. They embrace sin and they love it. They love it. And you can just do that for so long, beloved, and listen to what happens. And I'll undergird this more and more and more. You continue down that path and before long your heart will become as hard as granite.
Yep.
Your mind will be irreversibly set in your sinful way and you cannot go back.
Right.
And you will be damned forever.
Yes, sir.
This is a time of unprecedented delusion.
Yes, sir.
It's a time of unparalleled deception. Unparalleled deception. So many liars out there. You know, this is not to get a laugh. In our political system now, the politicians that are bragged on by the news media are the ones that are the biggest liars.
Sure.
I said tonight, that's why Bill Clinton, they said he's got an edge on his competition because he's such a good liar. Well, there's a whole lot of people like that. They take delight in deceiving people. They love to deceive people. There may not be any money in it for them. They just like to deceive people. Do you know there are people like that, they like to lead people down the wrong path? They like to lead people the wrong way. They like to corrupt people. They like to soil and stain people. They like to destroy any opportunity that anybody has to become a better person and closer to God.
Right.
They like to head that off for the sake of their own sin.
Yes, sir.
God have mercy on such people. They'll be screaming in the lowest parts of hell.
Yes, sir.
Because they've become a stumbling block to others.
Yes,
you know, it's one thing to sin, but then to cause other people to sin. Time of unparalleled deception. 2 Timothy 3:13 says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They're not only deceiving other people, they're being deceived by other people. Now listen carefully. How are they being deceived? Well, by other people. While they're busy deceiving others, they're being deceived by other people, and they're being deceived by their own selves. It's bad enough when other people deceive you, but it's really bad when you're deceiving yourself. Remember that 11th commandment? Thou shalt not kid thyself. Now that's not one of the original 10, but if there were a need for 11th one, that might be a good one. Thou shalt not kid thyself. There are a lot of people in hell that busied themselves kidding themselves about their salvation. They knew better, but they tried to kid themselves about it. I'm not such a bad person. There's a lot of people a lot worse than I am that just kid themselves right into the pit of hell. Deceiving and being deceived. Men will wax worse and worse. These last primary election results, I would venture the guess that many people in the country were just like me. They thought, this election is just going to be a wash. They're going to throw these Democrats out. These baby-killing, robbing, stealing, lying bunch of politicians, their party is going to get booted. People are sick and tired of watching everything crumble and collapse around them. And I think many people in America thought, this is a what? And then they turned around and they won. These people won. Right. Now, you know what the message there is, beloved? Evil men are waxing worse and worse, and more people are getting deceived. Yep. And at least half of the American people went out there and voted them back in. This isn't a partisan. This isn't a Republican Democrat. I'm telling you, they're rotten on both sides. They're rotten on both sides. There are very few that are any good at all. None of them are in the Democratic Party. None of them. Not one. Not one man. Not one woman. You cannot fix yourself to a party or an organization that has as its political platform that they are going to kill every unborn baby that they can. That's in their platform written out. They've taken God out of their political platform, voted to do it in their national convention, then turned around because they got so much flack. They're all for perversion. They're all for parental rights being taken away, and they can take your little children and have sex change surgeries performed on them, whether you like it or not. Right. That's what the Democratic Party's all about. Right. That's what they're about.
Yep.
That's what they stand for.
Yep.
That's what they celebrate.
Yep.
They celebrate it. They light up public buildings in celebration of the killing of babies and hang the rainbow flag. I'm telling you, this is a wicked... We live in a climate of lies. Climate of lies. When people have, by their sin, made themselves immune. People have made themselves immune to any of the positive effects of truth. You say, what do you mean made themselves immune to any of the positive effects of truth? They get to the place where truth rolls off them like water off a duck's back. Somebody sitting across the row from them comes under conviction, feels a supernatural dealing with their heart, humble themselves, cry out to God, get saved, and their destiny is sealed once and for all. They are signed, sealed, and will soon be delivered to heaven.
Yes, sir.
But that other person on the other side of the room, they hear the same message, and it's like water off a duck's back. They can't recognize truth. They hate the truth. And they've been hardened against the truth.
Yes,
half the people of America are enamored, I'm convinced.
Yes.
Enamored with evil.
Yes,
and they love lies.
Yes,
did you know that's what the Hollywood industry is all about? It's about lying.
Sure.
Can you imagine making your living as an actor or an actress, and all you do is pretend to be somebody else. It's dress up every day. That's what Hollywood's all about. And they are the foulest, rottenest, untrustworthy people. And they're paid millions and millions and millions of dollars because people love the lie. They love it. They're entertained by it. Psalm 52 and in verse 3 says, "Thou lovest evil more than good." Anybody like that here tonight? You love evil more than good? And they love lying rather than to speak righteousness. Have you ever met anybody like that? I have. They'd rather tell you a lie than tell you the truth.
Yes.
They would really rather tell you a lie. You know they're lying, and they know they're lying. And it would be easy to tell the truth. It doesn't, something that doesn't really matter. But they prefer to tell a lie. People like that. And half of America, I think, now is demonstrating on a daily basis that they've made a choice and they've entered into a covenant. Now listen carefully to what I just said. They have a great portion of our population, and it's true all over the world, have made a covenant. What kind of covenant? The kind Isaiah was talking about 700 years before Jesus was born. He said in Isaiah 28 and 15 concerning Ephraim, he said, "You have said, we have made a covenant with death." They're proud of it. "We have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we in agreement." Last Wednesday night, someone at our church, a woman in our from our church, was showing me some text messages that she had with some woman that was given over to Satanism. And the lady in our church was trying to witness to her and tell her. And here's what she said in that text. The Satanist. She's proud of being a Satanist. She said, finally she said, "Well, you go your way, I'm going to go my way." Now this is what she said. She said, "I'm just going to go to hell and be with my man." She'll find out how much the devil is her man. Amen. She's not going to see him in hell. Because he'll be so far wallowing in the depths of hell, but she'll hear him. He'll be screaming for all of eternity. When he is cast into hell, "I'm just going to go to hell with my man." That's how deceived and deluded people are today. Listen, when you get to hell, that's irreversible. They could burn a million candles to try to get you out of there in some so-called church.
Right.
And it's not going to do a thing for you.
Right.
You can have all kinds of regrets for 1,000 years and it won't move you one nano inch out of hell.
Right.
I mean, in the book of, I think it's Joel, it says, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision." That's where we are right now. This lifetime is the valley of decision. And if there's something that you know needs to be decided upon for the sake of right and against wrong, you need to make that decision now. And let me just tell you this, God will help you. God will intervene and he will help you. If you do the right thing, he will help you.
Amen.
I want you to look at Romans chapter 1 real quick. And if you don't turn there, just trust me, this is what it says. It's talking about a day in the past when people were living a lot like they are today. Only today it's on steroids. It talks about sodomy. It talks about all of this lying. It talks about idolatry and all of this in Romans chapter 1. Then in verse 24, God says, the Bible says, that God gave them up. In verse 24. In verse 26, it says it again. God gave them up. In verse 24:8, it says, God gave them over.
Right.
Do you know what all of that means? It means this. It's done.
Right.
It is irreversibly irretractably, inevitably done. You have crossed the line and there's no going back when you get to this, when you get to this point. And I've wondered lately whether or not our country, if we are witnessing the reprobation of a nation, the end of a nation, there's no going back for America. And here's the good news. That doesn't mean God can't send a mighty sweeping revival.
Amen.
Amen. Whereby individual souls can be saved. Where that the power of the Holy Ghost enters into a congregation like this one.
Amen.
Or a handful of men or women praying someplace Amen. Together. And the power of God comes.
Amen.
It's happened throughout our history. And I like to say this because I believe this. It would be, all the evidence points to this. It would be just like God, Brother White. When things look like they are past any good. You know, have you ever heard preachers say, we're past the day of revival. There'll never be a revival. We're so bad, there can't be a revival. You ever heard that? I want to say this when they're doing it. I'm too much of a gentleman to do it. But I want to say, speak for yourself. Because it would be just like God when it looks like it's impossible for God to send a mighty revival and not only have people saved in an outbreak, something the world could not ignore. But you know what God would be saying in that revival? See what you're missing? You could have had this. You could have had this, but no, you loved your sin.
Right.
You turned your back on me one too many times, but this is what you could have had.
Amen.
Amen. This reset is something that's been prophesied, and it's something that's right now in progress.
Yep.
Right now in progress. And it's something that needs to be recognized. We need to recognize.
Yes, sir.
Don't kid yourself.
Yep.
We're living in these times right here that Jesus is talking about. In Matthew 16 and 3, he said to the religious people of his day, he said, oh, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. You know what people today are doing in churches, Brother White? They're looking around and saying, seeing all this mess. They're still saying, everything is beautiful. Something good is going to happen to you. I got news. Something bad is happening and going to happen to a whole lot of people. And people need to recognize it. You don't need to wake up and smell the coffee. You need to wake up and smell the garbage. Amen. Yeah, there's a lot mentioned right now about the Great Reset. One of the global leaders today is a German guy by the name of Klaus Schwab. And he's the head of the World Economic Forum. I mean, he's a powerful global leader. And this is what he said recently. He said the pandemic, this was in 2020 when the pandemic was all going full speed ahead. You know, people were being locked down, put those masks on, jump through this hoop, roll over here, on and on and on, turning people into a bunch of trained chimps. And during that time, this global leader said the pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reset or to reflect, to reimagine and reset our world. That's what the devil wants, to reset the world. He said the world must act jointly and swiftly to revamp all aspects of our societies and economics, from education to social contracts, working conditions. He said every country from the United States to China must participate in this reset. Now, it's good to recognize what's going on when the means of our food production is rapidly being destroyed in this country. You think all of these bombings of these food processing plants and everything's an accident? They're already saying this. I'm not trying to be funny. You can read this. get ready to eat bugs and worms. That's what they're saying. Yeah. And get ready not to have an automobile or anything like that. Meanwhile, they're flying all, spending millions of dollars making their trips in their jets. These people are wicked.
Yes, sir.
They're the heathen.
Right.
I was talking about this morning. And they are bent on this reset. This energy, getting rid of all of the energy and everything. They want to reduce us. Listen, I've read volumes on this in their own words. What they want, what they're aiming at. Anybody ever studied history and read about the days of the Middle Ages? You know, the serfs are all on the plantation, right? Serfs are out there getting kicked from pillar to post every day. The serfs are just serving as handful of lords of the manor. That's what they want.
Yes, sir. Sure.
They want to get as many people from out of the country into the cities so they can control them better.
Right.
They've written about this. They're talking about this. They're planning this. It's part of the great reset that is prophesied in the Bible and that's in progress right now. These are times that must be recognized because they're times that call for a deepened sense of identity. Now listen carefully to this. These are times that call for a deepened sense of identity. Here's what you say, what do you mean by that? I mean this, a sense of identity. Here's what I mean. Identify yourself. There's only two kingdoms in the world. The Lord's kingdom, a kingdom of light. The devil's kingdom, a kingdom of darkness. Which one of them do you belong to? And here's a news flash. You know which kingdom you belong to right now. Don't kid yourself. Don't think you can live like the devil and pretend and try to make yourself think that you're part of the kingdom of light. If you're part of the kingdom of light, John said you'll walk in the light. You won't walk in darkness, you'll walk in the light. And you'll want other people to walk in the light. You don't want to drag them along into your darkness.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
It's a time for a deepened sense of self-identity. You know what we need to do today as Christians? We need to have a deepened sense, straighten ourselves up, and understand unapologetically who we are.
Amen.
We are Christians. We are God's people.
Yes.
We are citizens of the kingdom of Christ. Amen. And quit in any way giving the impression where anybody could look at our lives and say, I don't know what they are. A time for a deepened sense of identity.
Amen.
And these are times that call for steadfastness of intention. You know, a lot of people they have good intentions. There are people who have good intentions, and then there are the people who follow through on their intentions, and the people who drop them within a week. They're always making a resolution, but nothing ever sticks. Know what I'm talking about? These are times that will not work today in these days. Now you've got to decide. Decide tonight that you're going to decide for God. Your intention is to live for God. And that's what you're going to do.
Amen.
Not just when you feel like it, but you're going to live for God whether you feel like it or not.
Right.
Whether it's cloudy or sunny.
Yeah.
Whether people are patting you on the back or cursing you to your face.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Time for steadfastness of intention. In Luke 19 and 13, Jesus told a parable. He told about a master who called his 10 servants and he delivered them 10 pounds and he said, occupy till I come. In other words, stay with these stuff till I come.
Right.
Amen. Now here's the response we need to have. We need to recognize these times are in. Here's a way to respond. Romans 13 and 11 says, knowing the time that now, listen, beloved, now, not tomorrow, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Wake up. Wake up. Look at who you are, where you are, who's in your life, where you're headed. Now is the time to wake up out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. Amen. Some people just believed last night. They got saved last night. You know, there's a lot of people that have gotten saved. I mean, they don't have a Christian family. They're not in anywhere associated with a church. They're brand new. All they know is they've been saved.
Amen.
And they got so much to learn.
Amen.
And here's the thing. When people get saved, they realize they have so much to learn. And guess what? They hunger to learn.
That's right.
That's why Jesus said in the Beatitudes, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness.
Amen.
Now here's the good news. Are you right now hungering and thirsting after righteousness? You say, I want to be a righteous person. I would like to be holy in my life and happy and right with God in every way in my life. But here's the good news. Jesus said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Amen.
You know, when I got saved, I had a lot of filling up to do. And God has been filling me and filling me.
Amen.
And filling me. I want to tell you a little personal story. When I got saved, it was all new to me, right? Those little country churches down there that were all part of the church where I got saved, they were all in fellowship together. And that's all I went to. Every time they had a singing, I was there. They had a brotherhood meeting, I was there. They had a WMA meeting, I tried to get myself there with some way or another. I mean, I wanted all I could get.
Right.
But when I first started going to those churches, I would hear people stand up and they'd give a testimony service. And they would say this, Brother Farrell. Some old saint would stand up, some woman or man or young person, and they'd say, and they'd be crying and couldn't hardly talk. They'd be smiling and crying at the same time and say, Brother Britton, that was the pastor in one church, I'm just so full. And they couldn't speak anymore. I'm sitting there as a new Christian. I'm thinking, you're so full. What in the world does that mean? You're so full. I'd hear people pray for the preacher and say, Lord, hide him behind the cross. I'd be thinking, what in the world? I'd be thinking, what are they talking about? But it wasn't long until I found out what they meant by, I'm just so full. When I was listening to that song, Hallelujah, What a Savior, I started getting full.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
I wanted to call my friend Darren Tharp up and say, would you sing that to me over the phone?
Amen.
Man, every time he sings that, I get full.
Amen.
Hallelujah, what a Savior.
Amen.
He gave his life's blood for even me. Guess what? He gave his life's blood for even you. Well, there's a great reset being talked about here. And then there's a great rebellion in these things that must come to pass. A global dictator's coming. That's what the Bible teaches. And it talks about his manifestation. He's going to step onto the world scene. And now with the resources we have, satellite TV and all of the rest of it, can see him in a minute. The whole world can see this global dictator when he's manifested. Not only does the Bible talk about the manifestation of this dictator, world dictator, but it talks about something else. His mark.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
His mark. It's called the mark of the beast.
Right.
You read about it in Revelation chapter 9. I won't go there and read it. You can read it for yourself for the sake of time. But there it tells us that when this global dictator, this man of sin, known in the Bible as the Antichrist, the beast, and he's coming, he's on his way. You can hear his footsteps coming. The Antichrist is coming, and he is going to demand that everyone receive his mark in their forehead or in their right hand, or they're not going to be able to buy or sell. You can't buy any gas. You can't fulfill a prescription for your newborn baby or your sick wife or your ailing grandparent. You can't buy anything unless you take his mark. But once you take his mark, you can never untake it. It's over. Revelation 16 and 12 talks about an angel that comes and pours his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noiseless and grievous sore upon men which had the mark of the beast and which had worshipped his image. And you know what they do? They raise their fist up to heaven and curse and defy God. They've taken that mark. You know, there's a lot of people that have been living their lives in such a way they've set themselves up to take the mark. Now, a saved person won't take the mark. It doesn't matter if you got saved last night or 50 years ago. If you got saved, you will not find it in you to take that mark. And you wouldn't. But there's a lot of people. The way you've been living, you've been priming yourself to take the mark. See, you think that you can sin against God in the worst kind of ways, blatantly, openly sin against God and against your fellow human beings, and you think of yourself like a cat. Some people think of themselves like, they say things like this: I get into trouble, I always land on my feet. You ever heard that? I've gotten in a lot of jams, but I always land on my feet. That's the way they think, Brother White. But listen, you're not going to land on your feet. You are going to land in hell. Because you'll be jostling for a place to get up there and get the mark. You've already received it in your heart. A global dictator and a global defiance. It'll be a strong defiance. The Antichrist. You think what I was preaching this morning? The heathen, the defiance of this world. You think these people that are defying God, they are going to be defying God all over the world. And it'll be a strong defiance. But you know what else it'll be? A suicidal defiance.
Right.
Suicidal. You defy God, you're just committing a sort of suicide.
Right.
Let me close with this. A great reset. These are the times in which we're living that have come to pass. A great reset and a great rebellion. But guess what's coming? A great return.
Amen.
Amen. A great return.
Amen.
You say, who's returning? Jesus is returning.
Amen.
And you know what? He's returning in person.
Right. Yep.
He's not going to send some angels to return on his behalf. Nope. He is going to return in person.
Amen.
He said he would.
Right.
When he ascended into heaven, they said, "The same Jesus which is taken up from you, so return in like manner as you've seen him taken up." His return to earth was announced, and it's been foretold at his ascension. And his return is something that's going to be acknowledged and fulfilled. He's not only going to return in person, I'm closing the message. He's going to return in power.
Yes, sir.
1 Timothy 6 says, "That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate."
Amen.
Listen to the description of him. This, we're talking now about the Christ of the cross that was nailed and bled and died on the cross. That's who we're talking about. We're talking about him that they put in a borrowed grave and he laid there a corpse for 3 days. That's who we're talking about right now. We're talking about him who on the third day, the stone rolled away from his tomb and he just walked right on out. And about 40 days later, he ascended up to heaven. That's who we're talking about, who's coming again in person and with great power.
Amen.
You know why? To establish his reign on this earth.
Amen.
There won't be any more human government
right,
like we know it today. Corrupt, unjust, stupid. Jesus is coming back. Listen, if you aren't on the winning side, you better hurry as fast as you can to get on it. Jesus is coming back in person with power to establish his own reign all over the earth.
Amen.
This book tells us about it in detail.
Yes, sir.
And when he comes back, he's going to eliminate all of the rebels that are on this earth.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, there's going to be a reset, all right. The devil thinks he's going to be set the most, the conclusive reset, but there's another reset coming.
Amen.
When Jesus comes all the way back to this earth, he's going to reset things back to where they were and better than they were in the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
Before sin came.
Amen.
Talk about a reset.
Yeah.
Man alive, just think about living back then.
Amen.
What it was like before Adam did such a thing as he did, sin, disobeyed. Must have been wonderful, right?
Yes, sir.
And it'll be just like that.
Amen.
The Bible says the lion will lay down with the lamb. They'll love each other.
Right.
Yeah. A little baby would be out on the lawn laying its hand down on a poisonous serpent or insects, a deadly poisonous, put his little hand on it or her little hand on it, and that poisonous insect or certain will get out of the way so the baby won't be bothered.
Amen.
That's what Jesus is going to do.
Right. Amen.
I'm telling you, he's a wonderful king.
Yes, he is.
He is a wonderful king. Right. And he's coming back to this earth, and it won't be very long.
Right.
Listen, we got a lot of tribulation to go through.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it. Don't kid yourself.
Right.
We got a lot of tribulation to go through. One of these days, Jesus is coming all the way back here.
Amen.
He's going to establish his own kingdom. You can keep that. He's going to establish his own kingdom on this earth.
Amen.
Perfect peace, perfect harmony, perfect plenty and prosperity for everybody. And like they used to sing in that old churches back there, everybody will be happy.
That's right.
Will be happy over there.
Amen.
We will sing and shout. Shout God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Perpetual happiness. Amen.
Yes.
And joy.
Amen.
This is backed up by this book.
Right.
It says so in the Word of God. The way my heart throbs when I think about it attests to the reality of it.
Amen.
I'm just anticipating that Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
Amen. He who said he would come will come.
That's right.
And listen, the next time you hear somebody say, if only the Lord tarries, hey, newsflash, he's not going to tarry.
That's right. Amen.
The Bible says he that will come, and he what? Will not tarry.
Amen.
There's a time. In our language, there is a hour, a moment, and a second.
Yep.
There is a set time when Jesus on his throne is going to get up,
yep,
and all of heaven is going to shudder.
Amen.
And he's coming back.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Let's all stand together. Now listen, you want to be on the right side.
Yes.